Hey, welcome to our Duluth Vineyard online church service. Today we're coming from our lobby, and John and I wanted to make sure that we sat far enough apart. You know, 6 feet is good enough for like the general population, but when John and I start teaching out of the Bible, the droplets can tend to fly further. So we've laid out our tape measure, and here we are, John at the other side of the table. And so welcome to our service. We're glad you're here.
Hi. These are hard times, but we are doing our best to stay connected to Jesus, his loving, healing presence, and to stay connected to each other. It's so important to stay connected. We need to stay connected. You know, I wouldn't say this during normal times. I'm a pretty hardcore introvert, but I would love right now to just reach through the screen and give each and every one of you a big hug, a way of saying that we love you, we care about you, we want God's best in your life. It's so important to stay connected. You know, one good way that you can connect with us as a community is by filling out our Connect form. We'd love for you to go to duluthvineyard.org/connectform and fill out the Connect form. It's a way that we can hear from you, that we can interact with you, that we can know what's going on in your life. If you're watching the live stream now, you'll see a place that you can click to do that. And actually, this week, we're going to send out an email to our entire database. We're sure that there's some people that have bad contact information in the database. We'd love to get that fixed so that we can connect for you. It's really the next best thing to a hug right now, filling out the Connect form at duluthvineyard.org/connectform. All right, we need to take a minute to talk about money. And I think this is a time when many people are focused, they're worried about money more than usual. And I'm actually going to ask you to give to the church, to go to duluthvineyard.org/give. And I'm not asking you to give because the church is struggling financially. No, you know, no one budgets for a pandemic, and, you know, our giving is down by about a third, but we're doing fine. We're not worried about money. I'm inviting you to give because there's more that followers of Jesus can do during a pandemic. People need Jesus. They need his healing, his loving presence now more than ever. As a community, there's more that we can do to help our neighbors. There's more that we can do to point people to Jesus. There's more that we can do to help each other become more like Jesus. And because there's more that we can do, I'm inviting you to go to duluthvineyard.org/give. Join us in doing more. Check out duluthvineyard.org/give. There's other ways, many more ways, that you can connect with us during this pandemic, and we'll talk about more of those in a bit. But before that, you get to hear two ugly old guys talk about Jesus and the Bible.
So I guess I'm one of the old guys. Here's what we're doing. We want to talk about kind of this time that we are in isolation, similar to like times that we see in Scripture when people are in isolation or, biblical word, in the wilderness. And this is not an easy time for any of us. And one of the reasons I think that it's not an easy time is because we're created in the image of God. We're created for community, for relationship. God himself, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is Trinitarian community. And we're made in his image. We long for that. And so if you're a parent with kids at home, this feels like a difficult time. If you're trying to like do things with them that maybe you haven't done before in terms of schooling, maybe you're trying to work from home and there's people all around and you're, you know, working in the attic or the basement's not as comfortable. Perhaps you're single and you're at home alone now for days, hours, weeks at a time. That's really difficult. Maybe you're one of the folks that technology is really difficult for, and being able to connect with people technologically is really a struggle for you. Or maybe you're a student, a college student, high school student, and you're like, you know, you're losing out on some of the adventures or some of the things that you were planning to have during this time of the year. Or if you're in a profession, a medical profession, or maybe a service profession that's considered essential work, and you're going to work and some of the anxiety and stuff that's around that makes it a difficult time. Or maybe you're a hermit living in the woods all alone, and this is like heaven on earth for you. Like, I think God wants to meet us where we're at, and it's not meant to be just a super difficult time. I think as followers of Jesus, we can actually grow and flourish in this. Like what if all of the fruits of the Spirit and gifts of the Spirit were like more evident and more at work in our lives during this time in the wilderness, so to speak? That's what we want to look at today.
Absolutely, Michael. And I think what makes a big difference is the position of our heart, whether that's actually going to happen. Yeah. None of us chose the coronavirus. It's something that has been thrust on us, that we're in a situation of not our own choosing.
Right.
But the real question is can we choose to let God work through
it? That's exactly right.
By choosing what we didn't choose, we can feel freedom. And there's a great book that we recently read.
There's a wonderful book that we recently read. It's called Interior Freedom by Father Jacques Philippe. I don't know how you say his name, but that was my best try at French.
Pretty good French. Yeah, and he unpacks how that, you know, we see this pattern throughout the Bible. Jesus in particular choosing what he did not choose. Yeah. And we can do that now with the coronavirus. And
That's
he talks
right.
about some stages we go through. The first stage often when we don't choose something is rebellion.
I'm not going to do it.
Exactly. And I've seen that in my life. Absolutely. From you know, I don't want a social distance. You know, maybe we avoid social distancing. We don't actually follow the practices. Or maybe it's as simple as walking around our house, checking the fridge 100 times, is there anything new in there, and complaining to anyone that'll listen to us, you know, this can't be real, this can't actually be happening.
So I'm not the only one who's been checking the fridge a lot.
Oh, no. No, there's lots of us that we start out rebelling against this. We don't want it. We didn't choose it. But the next stage often then leads to resignation. Mm. We just resign ourselves. Mm. We're like, whatever, right. You know, it's a pandemic. I guess, you know, I'm going to have to deal with it. I'm going to have to stay home. Maybe we've lost our job. You know, we see our retirement disappearing and we're like, oh, I guess this is just the way it is. But that's not actually a Christian virtue,
no.
Resignation.
Well, and it leads us into things like binge watching or over-functioning or over-drinking or all sorts of bad habits, yeah.
Absolutely. And it's not the way of Jesus because there's no hope in it.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no hope. Where we need to get to is a place of consent, to saying, I didn't choose this pandemic, I didn't choose the isolation of it, the being alone, but it's something that I welcome into my life.
Yeah.
It's something that we see it with Jesus. You know, Jesus repeatedly in his life, when the Spirit drives him into the wilderness, he chooses that, even though he didn't choose it. Or when the Father says it's time to go to the cross, he chooses that.
That's right on.
I think big picture, it's a question of, can we take this forced isolation and turn it into a spiritual discipline of solitude?
Yeah, where the objective reality, what's really happening, stays the same, but the way that we approach it, because of, I think, of our submission and our surrender to God, changes the way that we experience it. There's way more freedom in the midst of that experience.
Absolutely. And Jared Boyd has a great quote. I want to read what he said about this. Yeah. Boyd, he says, a way to look at this is isolation is quite different from solitude. The main difference between a cloistered monk and a prisoner is a difference of will. And so that's really what we're inviting everyone into today, to change your will, to look at coronavirus and the social distancing and the forced isolation differently, to choose it and let God work through it in our lives.
And what if the silence and solitude that we tend to want to run away from actually are, in this moment, our best friends?
Yeah.
That we can actually dive deeper into spiritual growth and spiritual life and find a vibrancy and a nourishment there that binge watching will never give us.
Yes, absolutely.
That's it. Awesome. Well, what's our passage today? We got a passage we want to look at.
Absolutely. We're going to read out of the book of Matthew. And so where we are is Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, he's baptized by John the Baptist. And so we're going to start in chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 16. Jesus comes out of the water, and this is what happens. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Then, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him.
Yeah, that's cool. I like the way you said Satan. Satan! It made me laugh, sorry. So one of the things I appreciate about this is the temptation comes right after baptism.
Yeah.
It's like Jesus heard all these affirming words from God. He went through this act of obedience, of really submission to what God's doing in his life. And on the heels of that come temptation. On the heels of that come this wilderness and this temptation that's like incredibly difficult. Baptism is like an act of repentance. It's turning towards God and away from rebellion. It's this act of trust. And yet on the heels of that comes this really difficult thing.
Yeah, it teaches us that temptation is normal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you're going to hear the whisper of God saying, "You are my child and I love you," if you've heard
that's right.
In your life, you should expect that temptation will follow.
If you attempt to be pleasing to God, if you just try to live a life that's lined up and pleasing to him, then like at some point you're going to experience like counterattack.
Yeah.
Like there's a really real enemy, and this is like a really big part of it. And one of the things I love is in Mark's gospel, this whole story of temptation is like this triple synoptic tradition, meaning it's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, right? In Mark's gospel, the word that's used for the Spirit sent him into the wilderness is the word ekbello in the Greek, and it's the same word that Jesus uses when he's casting out demons. And so it's like the Spirit of God is casting him out into the wilderness. Like this is like a forceful move in there that comes right on the heels of this really affirming experience that he had at his baptism.
Yeah, the goal for followers of Jesus is not a life where there's no temptation. If we're never tempted, if we're never involved in spiritual warfare, the fight, that's actually a sign that the Holy Spirit's not working in us.
There
we're not
go.
Hearing from him. We're not connecting with him.
That's right. And then the other really key point in here is that there's a really real enemy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think sometimes we want to depersonalize Satan. We want to depersonalize the enemy and just kind of make it this kind of, I don't know, like force out there. But we want this personal love from God.
Yeah.
And it's like you can't, biblically, you can't do that.
Yeah, and I know that's countercultural. I mean, if you tell people today you believe in the devil, it's easy for them to make fun of you. But I would say look at the evidence. Look at our world and the evil in the world.
That's
it
good.
Points to there being a personal force.
That's
and
right.
As you're talking about, it doesn't make logical sense to believe that there's a personal loving God, but there's not also a personal being, spiritual, supernatural being that is after us, that is fighting with God. The bottom line is there is a war going on. There's a part of following Jesus is being part of that battle.
And there's no way to actually look at the atrocities of World War II or even current day racism and not see that there's an intelligent evil behind that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
The devil is alive and well. Now, I think it's important to say, though, we don't need to overreact to the devil.
Yeah.
The devil wins in two ways. He wins if we overreact and we blame everything on the devil, because then nothing's our fault, right? It's always the devil made me do it.
Yeah.
There's no truth to that.
Right.
But in the same token, he wins when we pretend he's not real.
That's great.
Because then everything can be blamed on, well, that's just, you know, that's how they were born, how we were raised. You know, we can blame everything on everything else and forget that there's evil in the world, because evil is real.
Yeah.
And for followers of Jesus, we need to resist it. We need to fight it.
Yeah. And then I think one of the main ways that he works and that he tempts us is he woos us away from trusting God.
Yeah.
And so I've read lots of stuff in these different temptations about how each temptation is like a certain kind of category or a certain kind of thing. And I think that may or may not be the case. Some of the things people have read, I go, yeah, that's kind of true, and others of it not. But there's this constant theme of not trusting God in there, like not trusting God in the very first temptation to meet your basic needs of hunger, right? And so I think that happens to us in the wilderness as well. We're tempted in the wilderness, in this current isolation, to not trust God to meet some of our deepest needs for relationship. And so that leads to some of our binge watching or our overindulging in alcohol or, you know, increased use of porn in our world today. It really comes from that lack of trust that God can meet my deepest needs.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you look at the temptations Jesus went through, they're very similar to the temptations that the Israelites went through in the desert.
There you go.
You know, and Jesus passes all those temptations. The Israelites failed each and every one of them. And we need to remember that we fail them often too. I think many of us, I know myself, we fail them even in this environment of the coronavirus, right? You know, we want our physical needs met. Israelites grumbled for bread. We grumble because our restaurants are closed. We grumble because we're stuck inside. You know, the Israelites tested God. We test God. We think things like, you know, if God really loved me, I won't get sick. No one I love will get sick. We put God to the test. And just like the Israelites, we flirt with idolatry. We think Jesus is cool, but you know what? I'll go to the porn, or I'll go to the Netflix, the social media, where, you know, the alcohol, because that'll really meet my needs. Yeah. We're no better than the Israelites, but we do have something that they lacked. We have Jesus.
That's right.
We have the Holy Spirit. Jesus shows us in this story how we can fight spiritually.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's two basic tools that we see coming out of this. That I see in the baptism that Jesus actually accesses like as he's in this place of the wilderness. And the first tool is the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that. Like all three Gospels say it was the Spirit who led him out into the wilderness. I just want to highlight that. Matthew 4:1, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Mark 1:12, at once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness. Luke 4:1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. It's like our lifeline is being led moment by moment by the Holy Spirit. That's our lifeline as followers of Jesus. And what's really beautiful to me is Luke recounts as Jesus comes out of the wilderness in verse 14, he returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. I think there's something that God wants to do in us that we actually leave this time of isolation, whenever that happens, more full of the Spirit than what we started because of the silence and solitude and ways that we're like interacting with him. I'm excited for what God wants to do in our lives.
I agree. This is a huge opportunity. If we can actually consent, if we can choose the silence and solitude, but at the same time, if we can hold on to the fact that in that place, there's going to be a fight. We're going to have to resist the devil if we're going to grow spiritually. But God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit gives us the tools to do that.
That's right. And that resisting thing, I just want to highlight that really quickly. At the very end of the passage, it says that the devil quit tempting him. Mm-hmm. And in James 4:7, it says, submit yourself then to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. It seems like a pretty lame approach that our only job is to resist. But that's our job.
Yeah.
When it comes to warfare, our job is to resist him. We don't have to come out swinging. We're not called to come out and, you know, do battle with him in a way that we can't possibly win. We're called to just simply resist him. And what's cool is he eventually gives up in that. And so the way we resist, the way that Jesus resisted, is like the truth of Scripture, the truth of the Word of God, what God says about us.
Yeah, the devil's attacks aren't anything new. He's been at it for centuries, and we see them here with Jesus, right? He attacked who Jesus is. He says, if you're really the Son of God, he's attacking his identity. Yeah. He does the same thing for us. He comes after who we are. You know, are you really a follower of Jesus, or do you really belong to God? Because if you did, coronavirus wouldn't be happening to you. Yeah. You couldn't get sick. You wouldn't lose your job. And I think for us, it's important to go back to Scripture and the same words that the Father said to Jesus when he came out of his baptism. Those words apply to us because of Jesus' death on the cross. Mm. We are sons and daughters. We are so loved by the King.
Yeah.
He is well pleased with us because of Jesus. Those are words to hold on to. All those promises over and over again when Paul talks about us being children of God. And at the beginning of the book of John, when it talks of us being adopted, we are children of God. Yeah. And so during this pandemic, can we rest in that identity? Because I think that's the place of strength.
Yeah.
It's the place where we can trust, you know, like a little kid trusts in their parents. Can we put that kind of trust in God while we're in the wilderness, while we're walking through COVID-19.
Last night, I was just reading in John 20, the resurrection, because mm-hmm. we've got this group that we've been doing that's been going through the Gospel of John since the fall. It's so brilliant to me that we got to John chapter 20, like at the resurrection, like the week right after Easter. Like what brilliant timing somebody had in planning that out. But there's this line where Mary Magdalene is grabbing onto him in John 20, and he says, wait, I haven't yet ascended to the Father. And he says, I'm going to my God and your God. I'm going to my Father and your Father.
Yes.
And like, because of the resurrection of Jesus, because we're people of the resurrection, Jesus' Father is now our Father.
Yeah.
And like, that's what you just, I'm just putting an exclamation point on what you just said.
That's something to press into during this pandemic.
Yeah.
I will say though, sometimes, you know, I know who I am. I'm a follower of Jesus, but the devil does sometimes get me with that second temptation. He calls us to worship something other than God.
Mm.
And he did it with Jesus. He said, fall down and worship me. Mm. Take the easy path is really what he's saying. And I think that happens during a time of pandemic. You know, I know that I can go to the Holy Spirit to have my needs met, but sometimes it's easy to be tempted to, well, but I can turn on Netflix.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people think, well, I can make myself a drink. That'll calm me down. That'll meet my needs.
Take the edge off.
Yeah, I can go on social media and complain and I'll feel better. Or I can
That ever works.
Yeah, exactly. I know. Or I can binge watch the news. If I just knew enough, we make knowing enough our God.
Oh, man.
And really, what we need to hear is the voice of Scripture saying, no, no, no. Worship me alone.
That's right.
First of the commandments.
That's right. That's
worship
right.
me alone. And resisting temptation it's not a function of, you know, I got to be stronger. I've got to work harder. It's really a function of, can I fall more in love with Jesus?
Yeah.
Can I let the Holy Spirit work more through me to be more loyal to God?
Like what if one of my friends called our phones this week, these dark little mirrors. I thought, oh, that was fascinating because I keep looking into this dark little mirror hoping to find the answer. But what I find is more anxiety and more stress, mm-hmm. whether I'm searching the news or searching social media.
Yeah.
Like, what would it be like to just put that aside for a moment, to embrace the silence and solitude, to embrace, give consent to what God wants to do during this period of isolation, and then to press into some things that will really help me grow.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those things actually is community. You talked about the Connect form.
Yeah.
Like, I would really encourage everyone to fill that out and let us connect with you in a deeper way. And when you find yourself wanting to hide and pull back in secrecy, actually do the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Lean into authenticity and vulnerability and transparency with other people. Let them see the thing that you're most afraid of, and let the Holy Spirit meet you there in that moment and begin to bring his healing to your life in some deep ways. I think there's incredible power in that.
Absolutely, community. And I'd also invite folks, use the Bible just like Jesus did. Take some time with your Bible. Find some verses that really resonate with you. You know, God is your refuge and your strength. For me personally, the be still and know that I am God. This is a time when we're forced to be patient, to be still. Well, again, what we're saying is this is a huge opportunity. Use that to get closer to Jesus.
That's right. I have loved reading the Psalms every single day and going through them. You know, for the first week, I just focused on really the first two or three phrases out of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing.
Yeah.
Right? And really allow the truth of God's word to penetrate your heart, your soul, and to actually bring some fruit from there that you long for that isn't going to come any other way.
Yeah, and use it to resist the devil when he says, wait a minute, you know, you lack the ability to go out, you lack your friends, you know, there's so many things in this current environment that he can point to that we can lack, and to use the words of Scripture to say it right back to his face. No,
that's right on.
I lack nothing.
That's right.
I have Jesus.
That's very cool. Let's just pray for people for a moment. So I'll start out and then you can pray as well. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your presence with us every single step of the way. And thank you for how your presence is actually incredibly life-giving to us. And in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of our isolation, sometimes it's easy to lose focus on the fact that you are what we need. Would you give us a grace to turn to you, a grace to turn to you in ways that maybe we haven't for a long time, or maybe we've been pushing aside as we check the fridge. Mm-hmm. Father, I ask for a grace just to turn towards you every single moment of the day. And then would you give us a sensitivity to hear your spirit, mm-hmm. to hear your voice?
And Father, as we turn towards you, I ask that you give us everything we need to follow in Jesus' footsteps, to consent, to choose what we did not choose. We didn't choose this pandemic, but help us to see it as an opportunity to spend time in solitude with you, an opportunity to grow spiritually in some powerful ways if we can consent to that. But at the same time, just like Jesus, to fight the things that need to be fought, to fight the temptations in our lives, God, and not to feel like it's all up to us. You died to give us the strength to do that. We don't need to be perfect. We need to tell the tempter, no, because Jesus died on the cross, I am forgiven, and he's changing me.
That's right.
He's making me more and more like him. God, I ask for each and every one of us that this would be a time of really powerful transformation in our lives.
That's right.
Yeah, come Holy Spirit.
Hey, we invite you to hang out with our service for the next few moments. We're going to have a few announcements of what's coming up, and we're going to play a bunch more worship for you so that you can just spend some time and lean into this. God bless you. Thanks for being a part of our community.